There's a movie opening in St. Louis a week from today called In the Valley of Illa. It is a movie that is already getting tremendously good reviews. It stars Tommy Lee Jones and Susan Sarandon. Tommy Lee Jones plays a character based on a Missouri man by the name of Lanny Davis, the father of a soldier who went off to Iraq by the name of Richard Davis, spent quite a long time in Iraq fighting the war in the first year of the conflict, then came home and disappeared. People wouldn't say where he was or what happened to him. Lanny Davis, his dad, knew my son would not go AWOL, so he actually went off to do some investigating himself. And that's when the story turned very, very ugly. I've invited Lanny to join us here this afternoon and talk about this story involving his son, Richard Davis. Lanny, welcome to KMOX.
Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. You actually spent a couple of decades in the military yourself, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I was a combat military police.
So you know a little bit about how military bonding works, and you still believe to this day that something went wrong in Iraq that caused Richard's buddies to knife him to death, burn his body, and hide it in the woods.
Yes, I do.
Tell me what you think happened and what actually did happen when Richard came home.
Well, what my speculation is, and it's on good information, that my son, for one thing, he saw two of his comrades raping and torturing and eventually murdering a young Iraqi girl about 12 or 13, and they burned her remains. My son tried to stop that, and he couldn't get it done, but that in turn turned a lot of the his own soldier comrades against him. And another incident that we know about is the battalion commander came up and shot two of my son's prisoners who were stripped down, laying belly down on the sand, with their hands lashed behind them, and he came up and shot them both twice in the back of the head with his 9mm pistol.
Now, knowing that, what did Richard do?
What did he do at what time, sir?
Well, while he was still alive and still in Iraq and witnessed these things, did he report these things to anyone? Did the news of those incidents get out from him?
No, but the incident where the battalion commander murdered those two Iraqi prisoners, the captain came up on the scene right when it happened, and my son was guarding these two prisoners. They was his prisoners. And the captain didn't see the actual event at that moment, but he saw it right at the moment after it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought charges against the battalion commander, and they had an Article 32 hearing against the battalion commander, which is similar to a pretrial and an investigation. And they exonerated the battalion commander, stating that he did that in the heat of battle.
Your son knew better?
My son knew better because I didn't teach him to be a murderer. And he's a firm believer in the Geneva Convention and the American rules of war and law. And he's very proud. He's a very, very proud soldier and an American. And he was so proud to stand up for this country.
He actually had served in Bosnia before going off to Iraq, so this was not like it was his first year at war, right?
Yes, sir. He was with the artillery unit in Fort Hood, Texas at that time, and they went to Bosnia as a part of the peacekeeping coalition. And he saw the open mass graves and all of these things that his battalion commander at that time had to go witness. My son was a 50 caliber machine gunner on top of the Humvee.
I'm going to read to you a description of what happened when your son came back to the United States. This was printed in a newspaper called the Michigan Daily, one of many resources I found about your son's story. And you tell me if this sounds right if there's more information you have to add to it, okay?
Yes, sir.
It says, Richard Davis returned from the Middle East on July 12th, this is 2003, from his second deployment. His unit, 1st Battalion, 15th Infantry Regiment of the Army's 3rd Infantry Division, had spent most of the past 14 months in that region, training, fighting, and waiting to go home. Davis never called his parents to tell them he was back in the States. He didn't have a wife or girlfriend in Columbus. This is Columbus, Georgia, near Fort Benning. So he piled into a car with four other soldiers from his company for a night out to celebrate. They went to Hooters and then to the Platinum Club, a topless bar. At some point, Davis apparently insulted one of the dancers, and the soldiers were kicked out, says Lieutenant Steve Cox of the Columbus Police Department. Davis's fellow soldiers later told police they were upset about it and started brawling with Davis in the parking lot. They left and drove about 3 miles before Private First Class Alberto Martinez pulled the car over. Two of the men, Private Jacob Burgoyne and Private First Class Mario Navarrete, got out and continued their fight with Davis. They told police that Woodcuff, the fourth member of their platoon, watched without joining in. Then they said Martinez pulled a knife and stabbed Davis several times. The four soldiers drove to a convenience store and bought lighter fluid. Then they returned to Davis's bloodied corpse, tried to burn it, and left it in the woods. The account of their deadly brawl came from Burgoyne, Navarrete, and Woodcuff in police interviews following their November 8th arrest, the day after Davis's body was found. Now, this took place in July, and the arrests were not made until November. Is that the story, as you understand it, Lanny?
That's the story that they told, and it's not the true story.
What is the true story?
Okay, my son got back. It was actually, it was around the 12th or 13th of July. And upon celebrating or something, he was they was all celebrating upon a return to Fort Benning. And my son did not willingly jump in the car with these guys, because these are the same guys that beat him up and choked him almost to death and slashed his left hand over the rack. Now, anybody in their right mind would have jumped in a car with these guys after that happened to you. Okay, they did go out. There was a couple other soldiers involved, I think, that befriended my son. That might have been a form of a trick to get him off base. They did go to a couple of clubs. The incident at the Platinum Club did not happen that way. Tony, the security bouncer, stated that he didn't kick anybody out. This murder on my son was premeditated. It was hatched way over in Iraq. And anyway, they started to fight. My son tried to get away from them. They started fighting in the parking lot. And they evidently stabbed Richard probably at that time, because they threw him in the trunk of this vehicle. And then they drove around, like they said, to be driving around, which is ridiculous. The spot that they picked to finish this job on my son, Alberto Martinez, the driver, right across the street, had a pistol in this gun club. So he knew the area. And when they pulled up there, they took my son back out of the car. They was demanding to him, "Are you going to tell? Are you going to tell?" My son kept telling them, "No, I'm not telling on anything." And that wasn't good enough. So they beat him some more. And my son was trying to get away, begging for his life. And at one point, when he was trying to fight off one of them, the other one came up and stabbed him a second time. And he was already stabbed in the chest when they gotten out in the parking lot. So anyway, they proceeded to beat him and stab him at the same time. And finally, when they thought he was dead, that's when they went up to the Quick Trip. They bought charcoal lighter, as you said, to burn his remains. They also bought bleach, to bleach out the inside of the car, the cab area, and the inside of the truck. They came back, and they buried my son. And anyway, of course, they came back to the unit, and they threatened people around the unit. The Bravo Company he was signed with, and so a lot of people wouldn't say nothing. They kept all this quiet. Even that first sergeant and everybody kept everything quiet. They wouldn't give me the time of day when I went down there looking for him.
It's News Talk 1120 KMOX, talking with Lanny Davis. The amazing story of what happened to his son Richard Davis when he came back from Iraq and was attacked by some of the guys he had been at war with. 33 stab wounds found in his burned body in the marshes outside Columbus, Georgia, near Fort Benning there. The story that you just told us, Lanny, you know it because you were the one who dug up the information, right?
excuse me. I didn't really dig up all of that information, but I was getting bits of information from here and there, different people. The people on base or in that unit was not supposed to talk to me. The first sergeant, when I sat down with him, he was telling me things like my son was a loner, he didn't have friends, he didn't make friends, he stayed to himself, and he didn't even know my background or who I, you know, where I came from. I asked to talk to anybody in that unit, you know, platoon sergeants, platoon leaders, company commander, XO, squad leaders, anybody at all that I could get some type of a clue as to where my son may be. At that time, I was hoping against hope that my son might have got off base when he, upon his return, and somehow got messed up in, with law and maybe in a different county, and they put him in jail and wouldn't allow my phone call. That's what I was really hoping for, but down deep inside, I knew my son was dead.
Had Richard called you from Iraq to report to you on some of the things that had happened over there?
He didn't really report, but he was the last phone call we got from him, he was begging and crying, "Dad, can't you get me out of here?" This is after they had beat him up and choked him and slashed his left hand. But he didn't tell me these things. I didn't find that out till later. But also he told me how his rucksack was bought off the side of the Bradley fighting vehicle. He didn't even have a change of clothes or boots or anything. His boots had caught on fire and melted the shoestrings or boot strings. I asked him, I said, "What'd you do about that, son?" And he said, "Daddy said I took them off of dead Iraqi." And he said, "Even those broke." And I said, "Well, what'd you do then?" And he said, "Well, I tied them in a knot, Dad." And I said, "Well, see, son, you can learn to survive." And that's all I could really do. I tried to build his morale up.
You think these things that happened to him there, Lenny, were because he had witnessed things that he wasn't supposed to witness and they were trying to scare him into being quiet? Or do you think that this was a plot to murder him that started in Iraq?
I said it's a plot to murder him that started in Iraq. And I believe it goes all the way up just about to the top because he didn't want no war atrocities coming out. And, for example, like that last phone call, he was talking about not having enough water to drink. They was down to one bottle of water to drink a day when they're supposed to have at least eight just to drink, not counting personal hygiene.
Who was denying him water?
Well, I guess Al Barton, because they wouldn't bring the supply trucks up.
Were the guys who were responsible for your son's death prosecuted?
They got a slap on the wrist, in my opinion. Two of them, it was a kangaroo court to begin with. Two of them got what they call life in prison, which in Georgia, that's only 14 years, plus time served, which brings it down to about 11 years. The judge didn't say life today, nor did he say life without parole. So therefore, they're eligible for parole in around 4 to 5 years.
Mm.
Jake Burgon got 17 years. And plus time served, so therefore he has 14, and it's the same thing. He can be out on parole in 4 to 5 years. Every one of these, when the way they murdered my son, it was the most horrendous death that ever occurred down in Columbus, Georgia, ever since that fort's been there since the 1800s. And it's been the most horrendous death ever recorded. And Columbus, Georgia, and Muskogee County is known in that state as the what they call the death county, because they send more people to the death row than any other county in the state.
But not these guys.
Not these guys. And so, therefore, the military had intervention with these courts. And there's much, much more about all this. But anyway, the court was set up as almost staged. I couldn't believe my eyes or my ears when I was sitting through all this. I was sitting there in awe because I just couldn't believe it.
This is a stunningly horrible story, not only, of course, for your family, but for other people who have family in the military who hear these kind of stories. We hope that they are isolated, but we know from the Pat Tillman case that the military does a pretty good job, initially anyway, of covering up stories that are not going to make them look good on the face, and then later on the ugly truth comes out and we find out that it wasn't so friendly fire in the Pat Tillman case, and it certainly wasn't friendly fire in your son's case.
No, sir.
This has now been turned into this movie that's going to open up next Friday called In the Valley of Ella with Tommy Lee Jones essentially playing you. Are you happy with how the movie turned out? I know you went to a screening of it.
Yes, sir. I've been to several screenings. My wife and I was in Los Angeles to begin with to see the initial, and then we also went to Toronto, Canada for the premiere in Canada. And we just went to the other premiere back in Los Angeles, Hollywood, last night. And the movie itself, it's based on my son's murder, but it's highly fictional.
Oh, yeah?
And for one thing, it still shows my son getting these guys kicked out of a club. That didn't happen at all, like I said before.
Mm-hmm.
It also states in the movie that, or insinuates that my son was using drugs like marijuana or cocaine. And that wasn't the case at all either. Matter of fact, when they got back to Kuwait out of Iraq, he'd actually went to the medical center and the field hospital and asked for some tests to be run on his blood and urine because he was passing blood and urine, or correction, blood in his urine and blood in his stool. And he wanted to get those corrected. Now, if you're on any type of drugs, you're not going to do that, especially in the U.S. military.
So the movie includes some fictionalized parts of the story.
Yes.
But you're happy with the way it came out?
It's a very strong story about, you might say, post-traumatic stress. That was not what murdered my son. My son's murder was premeditated.
You don't think this was a matter of these guys having the horrors of war come to haunt them once they came back to the United States? You believe this actually began in Iraq when he witnessed things that his colleagues were doing and they decided they had it in for him?
That's exactly what I believe, sir, because that's the facts. And I myself has post-traumatic stress, and you don't have group post-traumatic stress symptoms. If one man went off his rocker and wanted to murder my son, well, then what was the other three doing? They were standing by watching. You don't let somebody murder one of your comrades at all, you know, without trying to stop him. And that's what anybody in their right mind would do. And I'm talking about comrades that fought beside you all the way through. And you're going to stand there and just watch this occur as my son's begging and trying to get away. You know, that don't happen.
No, no.
And the post-traumatic stress doesn't make it happen. They wanted my son dead, and that's very simple and cut and dried right there.
Lanny, it's a stunning story. I appreciate your sharing it with my audience this afternoon. The website that the family has set up is called RichardDavisForPeace.com. And you can find out more about the Richard story and see at least part of it, a fictionalized version of it, in the movie that opens up next Friday called In the Valley of Ella.
There's also a book that's being written. It's called Murder and Baker Company, written by Cilla McCain.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be out January and February of this next year, and it's all about the truth. She's got statements, documents, court transactions, everything. And this is going to be one outstanding book.
Well, I look forward to taking a look at that, and I really appreciate you coming on and sharing this story of your son. Thank you so much, Lanny.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Lanny Davis, the father of specialist Richard Davis, killed by his colleagues when they came back from the Iraq War for what Lanny believes are things that he saw them doing in Iraq. It's a heck of a story. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.